You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 455, recorded August 2023, posted June 2024. Batless in Barovia.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, a Dungeon Master. Today might be the end. This may be our final episode of the Dog and Pony Show, Curse of Strahd, Ravenloft Adventures, for our adventurers are more or less face-to-face with Strahd, face-to-octopus eyes. I'll get into it. Allow me to introduce our players. They will remind you who they are, and then we will figure out what the heck is going on here on Total Party Kill Tuesday night. First up, it's Aline Sims. Aline, welcome back to the podcast.
You know, you said this might be the final episode, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be at least 12 more episodes, least.
That is accurate to how these things work.
So we can make it for syndication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I mean, we've got to ask Strahd if he wants a snack. There's a lot that needs to happen before a fight might happen. Anyway, I play Emma Soliana, the Wood Elf Ranger. Awesome dog, Androdite, and we all use she, her pronouns.
Thank you, Aline. And next up, it's Dan Morin.
Hello. My agent informed me that we've already been renewed for another season. And with the current actor and writer strike, since none of us are unionized, they are in dire need of content. So we'll be back.
Are we scabs in this situation?
Don't be scabs.
No, we're scabs. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, Dan, my mom would be
pissed. We're not on television if I have to remind you of this.
Wait, this isn't TV? I'm done. I need to talk to my agent.
What if people are watching this on the YouTube app on their TVs?
Gray area. I play Castan Onatar's Crucible, a Warforged cleric of the god Onatar, who uses they, them pronouns. I use he, him pronouns. And I would also like to point out that technically any of the last 70 episodes could have been our last episode if you just killed us and just had the guts.
Whoa, is that a threat?
Sounds like a challenge.
It's an inverse threat, really.
Next up, it's Micah Lucky Duck Sergeant. Welcome back, Micah.
Oh, hey, I'm feeling very lucky, punk. I don't know why I said punk. Oh, I know why I said punk. Reference acknowledged.
Really? Did you just acknowledge your own reference that you got confused about?
Yes.
This bodes poorly for the tactical section of the adventure.
I'm just stressed because I play a lot of different things, and they all have a lot of different pronouns, and it just gets stressful. I play Elevor Landman, the half-elf druid. He and I use he-him pronouns. I also play Samus, the saber-toothed tiger. She uses she-her pronouns. And Danu, the fey mimic octopus, who cares not for pronouns.
All right, next up. It's Erica Ensign. Welcome back, Erica.
Hello, hello. Yes, Erica Ensign, she, her. I play Brildish, the dwarven paladin. Her pronouns also she, her. And Brildish has a celestial pony, Pony Sindelarant, whose pronouns are he, him.
And last, but certainly not least, it's Jane Ritt. Welcome back, Jane.
Hello. I play Lena Dulina, the human rogue, and we both use she, her pronouns.
All right, what is up? Our adventurers are deep down in the bowels of Castle Ravenloft. They have been navigating through a crypt, and they have come across the tome of Sergei von Zarovich, Strahd's brother, who did not, well, he had a short life at the very least, and the last part of it was real bad. I was going to say he had a happy life, except for all the stuff that happened in it that wasn't great. And as prophesied by Madam Eva, this is the place in Ravenloft where you are able to come across Strahd von Zarovich as he sits here kneeling beside his brother's tomb. There is a heavy portcullis blocking the entrance to the tomb, but you have sent Danu, the fey octopus, down a series of steps in search of a lever to open the portcullis, allowing you to find Strahd and, I don't know, have a chat about things. Is that what we're doing?
That is definitely. So you had mentioned that sort of Strahd was like looking down, I think, sort of thinking about things. Danu, of course, as I mentioned, is a mimic octopus, and their whole thing, their whole shtick, is that they can become They can mimic the sort of what's around them.
Yeah.
And so Danu is kind of doing that camouflage as it goes to find the lever to pull. And as that happens, I think Elevor is going to look at the party and say, not even say anything, but do this with his hand and have everybody kind of come to the side of the, what is it? The portcullis? Is that what the thing's called?
Yeah. There's a big gate.
So that they're out of the way of the gate. And what he wants to do, because Tony, I've been reading about this deck of illusions. And in the deck of illusions, it says that it requires, or in order to like to activate it, you throw down the card and that is what activates it. So what I was thinking is that Elevor would like to hold out, fan out the cards and say, pick a card, any card to everyone. At which point everybody receives a card. And then we have two options. We can either all summon our creatures now and walk in like the biggest, scariest party in the universe. And maybe some intimidation goes on. Or we can sort of throw them down in battle and make Strahd think that we're summoning creatures.
Quick question. Are we playing Pokemon? Is that what's happening here?
It's a little Yu-Gi-Oh, a little Pokemon.
This is not what I prepared for.
This is okay. Great. How many cards are in the deck, Elevor?
I have 34 cards.
Yeah, really? You have a full deck.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You told me I had a full deck, and that's 34 cards.
The only time anyone's told Mikey he's playing with a full deck.
It's very rare.
My worry about that is just that Strahd being Strahd might have the ability, the innate ability to see through illusions.
You do know that he is a powerful magic user. In addition to being a vampire, has studied the magical arts for several lifetimes.
He became a vampire through like magic other means.
I do like the idea of you taking the deck and just like doing the thing where you like and just shoot all the cards at him.
52 pickup, but 34 pickup. I will point out,
you know, most illusions basically as soon as they take damage will be
right. That would, no,
it
it's
might
more
slow
of an
them down though.
Yeah,
it's like an intimidation thing. Yeah. I was thinking they walk in first. He starts to attack them. Elevor is already planning on bringing in some real friends that he summons, and so Strahd might not know the difference between, unless he has some power that he can just could one of us do maybe like a history or arcanistry check to see if we had any knowledge about whether Strahd could just like straight up see through the illusion.
Sure. Make a history check.
Because I know if you interact with it, that makes it go away, right?
Getting but that, I'm just getting wondering that if natural looking one out of the way right now.
Oh, that's good. Oh, maybe Lena Dulina, who has a little bit more knowledge of all of the baddos here.
I think that Lena is just like, ever since she saw Strahd, is just stone-faced, clutching her sword to
ready
the
to
hilt.
Go.
And is like ready to go.
I'm just going to ask. So Danu has snuck down in there and located, we'll say that there's a little lever built into the wall designed to raise and lower this portcullis. Danu is in the room with Strahd von Zarovich.
Yes.
I'm going to ask that Danu makes a stealth check.
A stealth check? That's fine. Yeah. Can Danu, given that it's a mimic octopus who matches the camouflage,
Danu can
have advantage?
Danu can have advantage.
Yay! Okay, let me find that, and there's that, and then we'll do a stealth who already has a +4.
So I'm just going to do that. I'm not going to roll for Strahd. We'll just take Strahd's passive perception.
Oh boy.
Okay. Whoops. Mm-hmm. And we will do that once. Why am I not just doing a...
Like, Brildish is willing to do whatever everybody thinks is best, but she just really wants to rush in there on Pony's back and just attack Strahd as soon as possible.
Okay, so Danu got a 21.
All right, Strahd's passive perception is a 22.
Are you kidding me?
Which is why I said that. This is why I'm like, I don't know about illusions.
I guess I'll just hold on to this deck.
We need to just establish what the stakes are here. The stakes are the pieces of wood that you're holding, that you will be holding, you will be clinging to when you are murdered by Strahd von Zarovich. So Danu is nearly invisible as he traipses down the stairs and around the corner. But though a mimic octopus might be invisible, a mimic octopus might not be silent and might have a scent. And Strahd von Zarovich kind of twitches and looks up from where he's kneeling by his brother's tomb, and his eyes kind of gaze around the tomb, looking for something that is the source of whatever caught his attention. And he snaps his fingers, and a swarm of bats descends from the ceiling and, I guess, attacks the area where Danu is.
Okay, let's see. I think...
Better not kill our octopus or something's going to go down.
Guys, I think that he's going to kill our octopus.
Who's going first? Danu or the bats?
The bats rolled 10 on initiative. What is Danu?
Okay, let me do initiative for...
Right now, this is just a Danu versus bats fight.
Octopus versus bats. Octopus versus bats. Oh, man.
It's just a straight up roll plus dexterity for initiative, right? That is a 19.
All right, Danu gets to go before the bats.
Okay, Danu is going to use the rest of their movement to sort of, now making use of suction cups, get up the wall and pull the lever crunk.
There's the sound of a counterweight disengaging, chains grinding, I don't know, rattling.
Chain rattling.
Gears grinding, and the portcullis gate that was blocking the entrance for non-octopi into the tomb is moving up. I'm gonna say the bats are going to attack Danu, and we'll see what happens there.
I picture as soon as the sound of the portcullis going up, Brildish and Lena's eyes just lock for a second and get big.
Yeah.
And it's
also, Elevor is a bonus action, I believe, can unsummon the familiar. So
I will tell you, I rolled a critical fail. The bats are flapping at the wall and the floor trying to find Danu. And they know there's something there. They have echolocation, but they have not connected with Danu. Danu does not get hit.
Danu disappears in a cloud of smoke.
Yeah,
now it's a good time for that.
All right. I have rolled initiative for Strahd. Strahd also gets a lair action. I'm going to be kind of very transparent with how all the mechanics of this work, because I think that'll help all of us. Strahd has a lot of things that are not what a traditional monster would have that are going to, there'll be some interesting things. He has what's called lair actions. He has what's called legendary actions. There's a lot of things that could happen. Let me just check. Does Samus get a separate initiative, or Samus moves on your turn, Elevar?
Samus has always gotten a separate initiative.
Yeah, okay. Technically Pony shouldn't, so I just put Pony and me with the same one.
I'll clear out Pony just so there's fewer things.
Can I? I think that I do have inspiration, and instead of using it for a reroll, could I use it for a plot initiative, where Lena gets to say something to Strahd before combat starts, even if he then gets to act first?
Yeah, you don't need to spend inspiration to do that. Maybe we'll have... So the gates rolls up. People move to rush in. Strahd kind of whips himself up to standing, ready to deal with whatever menace is coming in. Let me just check how we do in here. The initiative order is complex because you have brought all your sidekicks to this fight. Androdite moves on your turn, Imra, correct?
Yeah.
All
right.
And
I take her turn to do a second
attack. Dan, you'll want to roll for Vasilika.
Let me get Argles.
Oh, I had it.
There's two Vasilikas.
Tony, remove the one at the bottom.
Oh, all right. Good initiative.
We do need to also keep an eye on Argal, because last time we were fighting and Strahd was nearby, Argal was, let's say, less than helpful.
Hey.
Actually, Tony, let's just take Samus out, because Samus is just going to be providing me the help action so that I can get advantage on my attacks and stuff. So, yeah, we don't need to have Samus go.
I love it. Cool. All right, let me resort now. So just for our listeners, here is what I am seeing for the turn order for this ridiculous final battle. First up will be Imra. Then Strahd gets to take a lair action on initiative count 20. Then Crucible, then Auregal, then Broldish, then Strahd von Zarovich at 16, followed by Elevor, followed by swarms of bats. And let me tell you, there's a lot of bats available in this area. Then Lena, then Vasilka. And that's all you see for now, he says hauntingly. So, Lena, you are one of the first people through the... Maybe you even duck and run under the portcullis as it's cranking up. Strahd von Zarovich whips to his feet, glaring intensely as he sees figures descending the steps into his brother's tomb, interrupting him in his moment of quiet reflection. And he is just staring daggers at you as he sees you come down the stairs first.
First things first, she unsheaths her sun sword so that he can see it. And she stares daggers back and says, "You bitter old fool, you were a plague on your family like you have been on my countrymen. It ends now."
Woo.
"You people are beyond meddlesome. It has been centuries since anyone made it here to the crypts of Ravenloft. And because you have shown such pluck, I will make you one final offer. I will open the mists. I will let you leave Barovia now, if you turn and leave my castle forever."
I just picture Imra shooting him.
That sounds remarkably like the kind of offer one makes to someone one is afraid of.
Imra, you get to go first.
All right.
So just to paint the scene, most of our adventures, they're kind of crowded at the top of these stairs leading down into Sergei's tomb. Strahd is behind a large sarcophagus kind of crypt there. There are bats all around the ceiling here and in the crypt where you are. There are these physical column-like crypts in the crypt area that people could theoretically be ducking back between. It's going to be interesting to see who will be in the tomb and who will hang out in the doorway, because that's where all the fights happen in D&D.
All right. Well, I think my first...
Now, they're wooden arrows, correct? Is there a mechanic to try to just shoot it directly through his heart? Because that would paralyze him.
I feel like a fighter doing
a
called shot,
but I'm not sure if that... Does that exist still?
It definitely exists for certain types of fighters. I don't know if it exists outside of class features.
Yeah, I don't think it does for a ranger.
It looks like there are house rules. A very common house rule for called shots is that you have disadvantage on it.
Interesting.
Because it's very hard.
Well, I think my first order of business is to point at Strahd with an arrow, but also cast Hunter's Mark so that I can get some extra damage on him. So my longbow is, I don't have a magical ranged attack, so we're just going regular longbow, but I got a 23 to hit.
All right.
God, Tony, we know he's hot. Why are you showing us hot Strahd?
Yeah.
I'm just reminding you what Strahd looks like as you fight Strahd in the
Strahd me sandwich.
We all know that Strahd is baby girl. We know this.
And a question about Hunter's Mark. Is it, since I get two attacks because I take Androdite's turn, do I get to roll damage for Hunter's Mark on both of those or just one?
That's a good question.
It's whenever you hit with a weapon attack. Yeah. So
Whenever is whenever.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess I've procrastinated long enough. I'm nervous. we're going to do that. So, that's 8 points of damage plus a d6 is another 3. And then I'm going to knock another arrow, but I Guess I got a little bit too nervous because I rolled a 12.
All right. So your first arrow does cut through the air and catches Strahd kind of in the shoulder. It is a non-magical arrow, so it's not going to do the full 11 damage that I believe you said there. Yep. But it, there, you know, he looks surprised that you know, there's a little bit of black vampire blood splashes on the ground. And, you know, he was so fixated on Lena, he now recognizes that there are a bunch of you up the stairs, and he is unhappy. Anything else, Imra? Where do you want to situate yourself for this?
I think I want to stay back here just because I'm a little squishier than some of our tanky people.
Yeah. All right. Strahd is going to take a lair action next. And I think, Lena, you are the kind of the closest creature to him. And Strahd looks at you. You're holding the sun sword right in front of your face, looking very menacing. You know, your whole face is kind of illuminated by the glow of your magic weapon, and your shadow kind of flickers in the light of it. And Strahd just kind of like twists his hand, and your shadow coming out of your own feet kind of ripples and twists. Give me a DC 17 charisma saving throw.
Oh, you get plus 2 to that, I think.
14.
All right. Your shadow detaches from you.
Which is like not something that a rogue really wants to happen.
Uh-huh. That's bad news.
Yeah. And yeah, it's there. The shadow is then going to do stuff. The shadow is going to attack you, Lena. It's you, but in shadow form. So uh-oh. it kind of latches out with a weird kind of inverse of the sun sword flickering. And rolled a critical hit. Love it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons. It's Lena. These are my special dice that Erica gave me, they are great.
Erica.
I'm so sorry about everything.
Jeez. That is going to be 19 necrotic damage.
Is this an attacker that I can see?
Yes, it absolutely
okay,
is.
Okay,
this is a creature. This is a creature now.
I choose to have that damage.
Yeah, good idea. Good.
All right. And as the kind of shadow blade cuts through you, as you are attacked by your own kind of counter image, the attack kind of saps your energy. Your strength is reduced by 1.
Oh.
Bad news.
Ugh.
Strength not as bad for you.
Also, good news. If a non-evil humanoid dies from this attack, a new shadow rises from the corpse 1d4 hours later. So that's fun.
Neat. Interesting fact.
Yeah, just some fun facts here. Well, for me, let's just add that shadow to the order now. Crucible, you are next.
Well, I mean, this is a smoke 'em if you got 'em situation, right?
Yeah.
You are, so, Crucible. You know, Crucible.
If you're waiting for another guy.
Crucible puts his hands together. Yeah, but it's just a question of where you start, right? Do you start at the top
guys,
and
he's
go
on
down?
He's on the cover.
No,
of the
I get
book.
It.
It's a
I
big
get
deal.
It. I regret that I have but one spell slot, fifth level spell slot to give for my country. But we're going to use it now. So Crucible puts his hands together. Their eyes glow. And then they murmur a prayer. And there is a searing, blinding light. And when it fades, an angelic form has appeared, hovering over at the sort of towards the roof of this tomb. This is a celestial spirit, which I have summoned. It is a bit of a badass. We'll see how this goes. So that is my action. Acts on my initiative, shares my initiative count, takes its turn immediately after mine.
Do you need a token for this? Or
yeah, that would be handy.
What does it look like?
It's a giant, like, avenging angel, basically.
Oh. So what does an Onatar avenging angel look like? Is it like mechanical?
I assume it has a giant
hammer.
Forge? Like it has a hammer from a forge, and maybe a certain degree of, like, maybe if you squint at it, it has a slight resemblance to Crucible, but only in passing.
I apologize. I don't have anything that's gonna.
I'm describing. Let me paint a picture with words. Flowing white robes, flames licking around the edges. It's a little creepier than I intended, but yeah, it works.
Yeah, I think that's technically a demon, but
imagine that, but like angelic.
Yeah, easy to imagine.
So Strahd made my shadow flight me, and then you summoned a light beast to fight him.
Correct.
So it really is Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. it has a fly speed of 40. Does hover have to be specified, or is it assumed it's hover unless it says otherwise? I don't remember how flying speeds work.
I don't remember how hover works. I don't know. You should have control of that token, so do whatever you need with it.
I think we're going to attempt to have it swoop down and strike at Strahd. Stat-block says mace, but let's just say it's a giant hammer. It's a radiant hammer.
I will tell you, he's not a fan of that.
All right, so it uses my spell attack bonus. So let's give this a roll. That's not great. That's a 16, which is probably not enough.
You know what? 16 hits Strahd Bonzarevich.
What?
Good to know. 16 hits.
I don't like that, you guys. I don't like that.
I'm going to be okay with it for the moment. All right. So, sorry, there's more math on this one because it uses a bunch of my stat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, let's see, 1d10 plus 3 plus the spell's level. So that's 5. So it's plus 8 damage. D10.
And I can tell you when you drink a potion of flying, you can hover. Okay. So I would assume that.
All right. So that's going to do 16 radiant damage.
Yeah, like that
and
kind.
In addition, can choose the celestial can choose itself or another creature they can see. Oh, it's within 10 feet of the target. So nobody's in there close enough.
Nobody
yet.
Else is within
yet,
10.
No.
All right. Well, I will tell you that if anybody is within 10 feet of that target, you will be able to get temp hit points from this every time it attacks. Now
I'm just going to tell you mechanically, it makes a big deal when you do radiant damage to him, because first off, he doesn't resist it. And second off, he's a very powerful vampire. He regenerates unless he has recently taken radiant damage. So...
That's good to
so
know.
So radiant damage equals good.
I can do that much every turn. If I can hit him, I can do radiant damage at least.
Now, does this thing that you have brought to us, Onatar, does this count? Crucible, does this thing count? Whoa,
no blasphemy, please.
Yeah. Is this a creature that Strahd can attack?
It can be targeted, yes. But before that happens, I will point out this also has multi-attack. So, makes a number of attacks equal to half this spell's level, rounded down. It's a level 5, so he gets one more.
All right.
But this is the highest level spell slot I got, so we're going to try this again. And roll. Oh, that was much better. That's 27. Almost a crit. So close. Yep. So that should hit again, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
And it will do a rather piddling 9 radiant damage, and still can't give the hit points because nobody's close enough. And then, do I have it swoop away? It'll incur attack of opportunity. It's probably going to take something from him anyways, right?
Possibly.
But he would use his actual turn action to do it if the thing is standing in front of him, as opposed to just getting a freebie for it flying away. So 6 of 1.
I mean, he's got to use his reaction, right, to do an opportunity attack, presumably.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
I don't know how that would. I don't know. That may just be metagaming to a level that we can't really do anything about. So I think this is the defender form of this. So I think it's intended to hopefully soak some damage.
All right. Well, at the end of your turn, Crucible, Strahd's going to take one of his legendary actions. And he's going to start out with, Strahd carries no weapons. and he simply kind of lunges out with his hands. He's going to do an unarmed strike on this defender that you have summoned before him. Do you have an armor class for this?
I do.
This fella? Yeah. Well, I feel pretty good about this. I have rolled a 27.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Stroud's going to choose, instead of damaging it, to grapple it.
Interesting choice.
The creature, as part of the grapple, will take 14 necrotic damage.
Okay. I'm going to need to track the hit points.
Is it bloodied?
No, not quite.
All right. Aragal is next.
Aragal is going to scoot forward and take a stab at Lena's shadow. So that'll be two short sword attacks. So the first one is 25 to hit.
That'll hit a shadow.
Okay. And then, so that'll be 7 damage, followed by 9 sneak attack damage, so 16 mundane damage.
Now, I will tell you, the shadow is resistant to mundane damage, but the shadow has just that attack alone. The shadow has kind of lost a lot of its kind of potency. It's kind of flickery, and does not look like it's as held together as it once was.
And I'm guessing that the secondary effect on Aragal's weapon of poison isn't going to be effective against a shadow.
The shadow is immune to poison.
Yeah, so we don't have to.
No veins.
Okay, then Aragal is going to disengage and step back.
All right. At the end of Aragal's turn, Stradvon Zarevich is going to take a legendary action. Stradvon Zarevich is holding this creature of light that it has dealt necrotic damage to. He's got it grappled, and Stradvon Zarevich, he leans back. His fangs kind of seem to grow bigger in his mouth, and he is going to attempt to plunge them into the neck of this thing. Let's see here.
Can you drain blood from a celestial?
Well, Dan, I'm not a priest, this, but I rolled an 11 to hit, so I don't think that that's going to do it.
Nope.
Okay. He fails to drain the blood.
It's like hard to find, get like a purchase there.
It's hard to get. Yeah, you know, he's like, he just got a nod on the shoulder. It's kind of grisly. But let me tell you, you haven't had a Tuesday night until you fed angel blood to a vampire.
True.
Yeah. True. It's definitely an intimidation thing,
yeah,
I think.
But shouldn't angel blood, like, I don't know, be radiant? Isn't that like drinking fire?
Maybe he likes to drink fire. What do we know?
Yeah, he likes spicy. He likes spicy drinks. Yeah.
No judgment. Yeah.
The Scoville scale.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yep. No, this is the Colville scale.
So that is his legendary action. Broldish, you are next.
All right. I think we are about to see how much Broldish has grown as a person. Because originally the plan was just to ride in on Pony brandishing a now magic sacred axe and try to chop him down. But Lena's shadow just detached and attacked her and did some damage, and that's not good. No. So instead of going all the way in, Brildish is just going to scooch forward, still on Pony, and cast Aura of Vitality, which is one of her third level spells, which I think that might even be the only one that she can do. But let me give myself my aura, because that's always fun.
Oh, and just so you know, I halved the damage that I took. So I only am 10 hit points down, which is still a decent chunk, but not as quite as grim as it seemed previously.
All right. So suddenly, Brildish, like, just sort of closes her eyes briefly, whispers a little prayer to Hela, holding onto the sacred axe, and she just bursts into this aura of, it's 30 feet, 30 foot radius aura of just like this kind of warm, glowing white yellow light. and it's going to move with Brildish. And at any time, as long as my concentration lasts, Brildish can use a bonus action to cause one creature in the aura, including herself, to regain 2d6 hit points. And she's going to do that for Lena right now. So this is this is cool. Not what Brildish was expecting to do, but it feels like the right thing. So that is 8 hit points.
Thank you.
Let's see. So that was a bonus action, and that was that.
Lena looks truly touched by this.
And then can I see Strahd from here? Actually, it doesn't matter because I don't have that bonus action anymore. So that is it. But she will just, you know, shout out.
I'm going to say that for future reference, you can see Strahd there because you're near Imra, and Imra can see Strahd.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. Then, not going to try to push past this thing because I don't think Brildish necessarily wants to take an attack from an alternate Lena. That sounds really dangerous. Otherwise, probably she would. But yeah, right. So that is it for Brildish. And you know what? Pony's getting into the heat of battle and is going to just try to do a hoof attack on this weird shadow thing.
Oh, nice.
Pony does not appreciate a fake Lena popping in. That is not great. And also that roll is not great. Pony misses.
You sure?
By a lot.
Okay.
Well, let me think. It's a 4 on the die. What does he actually have for his plus 4? So that's an 8.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. by a decent amount. Sorry, Pony.
Right. I think Pony is just discomfited by the fact that Brildish did not have him charge in past it and attack Strahd. So there we go.
All right, it is Strahd's turn. Strahd would regenerate, but sadly has taken radiant damage and does not regenerate. A physical sensation that is very discomforting to Strahd. Strahd is going to use his turn to cast a spell. He's going to chant some words, and suddenly there are 4 Strahds, but they're all kind of in the same space. They all appear to be kind of grappling this creature, and it's mirror image. So I'm just, you know, just to mess with you all, I'm gonna put 4 Strahd on the map. So
so he goes twice in the initiative order and has his little behind between turn actions.
Yes.
He's got everything.
There's a specific set of things he can do as a lair action, and then yes, he can do several interruption legendary actions as well. So he's a jerk, Dan. I don't know what to tell you. It's Curse of Strahd, not, you know, Cupcakes of Strahd.
I would like to play Cupcakes of Strahd after this, please.
Don't eat those people!
No! Are the cupcakes still in the pan? Because if they're still in the pan, it's a trap.
They are. Yep. Reverence acknowledged.
Cupcakes can't be evil. That upends my entire worldview.
Dan, everything can be evil. That's the Tony world.
Try hard enough.
Cupcakes are made of gluten.
Yeah.
They're pretty evil.
No, I'm tanking you on that one, Erica.
I'll take all the gluten
for you.
Elevor, it is your turn.
Elevor is going to do his very real spell that's very truly called Summon Sun, where he very really summons the entire sun into this space and kills Strahd.
Mm.
Is the sun your son?
Summon my son. Please, my son. He is very sun.
Summon sun would also have implications. I mean, we'd have to get an astronomer in here, but I feel like it would probably have implications for Ravenloft, Barovia, all of you, and Pony.
It might do some bad things. So
sun.
You're right.
It's very small.
Instead of doing that, Elevor's
pretty
wise.
A little
wise.
Sun, Dan. Just a little bit of sun. Yeah. Dan, let me tell you about Elturel, a little place called Elturel.
Elevor is pretty wise and realizes that he should not summon the sun. He should leave it where it is. So instead of doing that very real spell.
I was just thinking about the impact of the sun being here. I didn't even think about the impact of the sun not being where it's
where
supposed
it should be.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Oh, wow.
It would have been very bad.
The worst this Beatles song worse is worse. Definitely From Here Comes the Sun. Goes the sun.
There goes the sun. Yeah.
No good.
So I mean, it's better than Octopus's Garden. But anyway.
Too soon. Too soon.
Yeah, please. Elevor reaches out with his hand, and you kind of see his eyes roll up a little bit in his head, as once again that smell of like juniper and other coniferous trees fills the air, and that's how you know kind of know Elevor is up to his stuff. And a rush of wind kind of comes through the sides and kind of rushes down this tunnel of the stairs, and appears in let's say here and here. One is a creature that you will remember from the coffin place. It is a
your grad school
buddies,
roommates.
Yes, exactly. So a dryad appears, but instead of it being two dryads, my two roommates, it is instead appearing right next to the dryad is a small little creature, reminiscent of a goblin, that is wearing like this jester's cap, and it immediately kind of looks around and it has this little snarly face and it kind of and some of you may know this as a Nilbog that appears. And so, yes.
You guys have too many spells.
I was like, is this like a riff
for
on
a Nilbog?
That's okay for a Nilbog, yes.
I was like, is this a riff on Piddlewick? Because I was like, I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, it is a little Piddlewicky, but more, yeah, unfortunately, it is a goblinoid. And so they, let's see, I need to roll initiative for them, and they'll both go on that turn. So I will, let's see, we'll go, yeah, I didn't think so. Okay. Whoa, nat 20! So nice. 22 initiative. Which I guess, nearly makes them first. But yes, they have a 22 initiative and we'll go at that point. So pretend one of those is a beautiful dryad and not that they're both Nilbogs, because only one of them is a Nilbog. So I don't think they can go yet, right? I have to wait till they come around?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what's happening. And then I think, I know I said Samus was going to take the help action, but since Elevor kind of has to be back and concentrating, he is going to move a little bit out of the way. And then on my turn, I'll just have Samus go for now, rushes forward and tries to attack that thing.
Shadow.
Yeah.
Lena's shadow.
Lena's shadow, which I don't know that that's going to do much. I imagine 11 is pretty low.
11 is not quite enough to hit a shadow.
Excellent. All right. That's all for Elevor for 8.
All right.
Let me just see. Sorry, one quick thing. Let me just make sure. I didn't know I could do that. We're good. Everything's fine.
All right. Strahd whispers something, and the ceiling all throughout the crypts of Ravenloft kind of shifts and twitches as thousands of bats awaken from their slumber. Swarms of bats descend upon everywhere. It's just like a flurry of bats rushes through the crypt, and I'm just gonna have you all roll a bat attack on yourself. Why not? I'll make the players roll an attack on them. They got all these things. You're gonna have to manage that. Bats get +4 to hit. Please roll a bat attack on you and all of your various sidekicks, companions, college roommates, and Occupy.
I'm going to impose disadvantage on the ones coming at Pony.
Okay.
Quick question. Does that's in the crypt area, not in the tomb, right?
In the tomb as well. Everywhere.
Okay, so everywhere, does it go for
even
the
outside? Outside.
Does it apply to the celestial that Strahd is currently grappling?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Okay,
so I mean, basically, I'm just trying to simplify this. Imagine
you said
that
+4?
Yeah, imagine that there are 25 bat tokens all over the map. So
how much bat damage?
If bats hit, they do 5 damage.
Finally, Tony, an opportunity where my poor rolling comes in handy.
There you go.
Yeah, all said it attacks. Couldn't be done.
That looking out me, for you. It missed Vasilka and it missed the Celestial. Rolled a one on the Celestial.
It did not
job,
miss
you.
Me. It did miss one of the two creatures. And let's see if it hits the other creature. And I forgot I've got Salmas
both
too.
Both Pony and me.
All right. Well, you only each bat attack does 5 damage. And I'm just going to say that basically there's a flurry of bats attacking each of you once instead of managing bats attacking one person a million times and things like that.
Yeah, I don't want to be some sort of bat.
Is the bat token separate from the bats that just went?
It represents all bats.
Gotcha. Okay.
All bats.
Hashtag not all bats.
Hashtag all bats.
Yes, now it's big bats. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
there's you said I've 5 made damage.
Yes, 5.
It's just the reminder
like
that the bats
and
exist.
I cannot lie.
It just represents the idea that there are bats everywhere.
All right.
Yeah.
Done.
So that was Team Bat.
Whoa, big bat.
Sorry, yeah, pocket of big bat.
That. Sorry.
Lena, you're next. Your shadow is next to you. Strahd von Zarovich is down the steps from you in the tomb, grappled with a Celestial.
Yep.
Must be Tuesday night.
So he is. Lena's gonna sort of shuffle out of the way and then take a swing at her shadow with her sun sword. That's a 26 to hit.
Oh, yeah. How do shadows feel about
light? Probably not great.
Do
vulnerable to radiant.
15, yeah. Okay, well that's 15 damage.
All right, you your sun sword just tears through the shadow and it is no more.
Okay.
Woo.
So then and Lena says, "I grappled with my dark side long ago."
Very nice.
And then I think she's gonna, let's see, so it's 1, 2, 3. She's going rogue.
She's a rogue.
So
yeah,
actually, you know, so she has her sun sword out. This was Sergei's sword, right?
Mm-hmm. Sergei von
Zarovich. And it's a sentient sword. How does the sword feel about like being reunited with its master, about to, you know, really frig up Strahd?
You know, there's something interesting in that Sergei is not here anymore. In fact, you know that Sergei and Tatiana have crossed over, or Irina, depending on what name she's been reborn under, have kind of crossed over and left Barovia. But, Sergei's mortal remains are entombed here. But that sword, Alina, it may be hard to kind of separate the sword's thoughts from your own, because the sword is just thrumming with a hunger for vengeance.
Oh, yeah. That's probably why they don't really talk a lot, because
same
page.
They're
on the same page 100% of the time. Yeah.
Yep.
And let's see. So I can use a bonus action to make a perception check to spot a hidden creature or object. And we're in this like wild crypt-like tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Lena can't make another attack, so she's just going to cast an eye around and see if there is anything that looks like an escape, anything that looks like a big chandelier she could drop on him, anything potentially useful or out of place in the room.
There are several large statues.
That's a 29.
There are several large statues behind Strahd, behind the tomb. Uh-huh. One of them is clearly of Sergei, and then there's two kind of angelic figures, one to each side of his. Those are kind of the main decoration here. There's not anything in terms, it does not look like there's any other kind of entrances or exits to this place beyond where you came in. Nor are there any other hidden creatures, though the ceiling is covered with shifting bats.
Got it.
So, yeah.
All right. Yep, that's all my turn.
I think Vasilka, you can go next.
Well, Vasilka, I think, is finally, you know, having stayed out of the frays up to date. But I think this is the moment that She's finally coming face to face with this horrid person that in theory she was constructed to be with forever. And I think she is realizing that she is she could do better, is what she says.
The Soka yeah. smash.
The Soka smash indeed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and gets about there. She's gonna have to close.
Is it worth attacking bats, or are there just so many?
I'm gonna tell you this: bats are a renewable energy resource for Strahd.
Okay, so not gonna be able to attack this turn, but she's going to essentially stalk forward,
sure.
clamber over the coffin, and just like be in position to seize one of the Strahds as soon as she gets the opportunity.
And again, this mirror image thing—it's very confusing because there's kind of like 4 Strahds in the same place, and clearly, you know, in classic cartoon villain fight scene, you're gonna probably have to smash the duplicates before you get to the original one. But it is not like there are 4 different Strahds moving around. They all move kind of in parallel, and like they all
it's
seem
like
to be
a blurry
like,
Strahd.
Yes, yeah,
it's like an oil slick.
Yeah. So, all
right.
At the end of the order, sorry, Micah. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that sorry, but sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, can't you look at his face and see how sorry he is?
For those somebody listening, get a screenshot.
For those listening along at home, he does not look sorry.
Not at all.
You don't know what I look like when I'm sorry.
It could be this. If it's like that, I have concerns.
It could be this. Several vampire spawn kind of lurch out of the darkness of the crypts.
What about all the hidden creatures Lena just looked for?
Yeah, look for them in the tomb.
Dang it.
Yep.
Wait, behind us? Are you saying flanking?
Well, they don't flank, but yeah, you're flanked. And I will tell you, these creatures are different than the kind of rabble that you've seen before in service to Strahd. I've got art of them, so allow
they
me.
They look super emo, find... Tony.
Well, you know.
These hipster vampires.
They're not hipster vampires.
You said they weren't rabble. I assumed that they're talking about bespoke lattes or suspenders or something.
Vampires clad in kind of Victorian finery come out of the darkness, and they look, hungry but amused to have been called forth.
Do they look like they want friends?
They look like they have been summoned here by Strahd von Zarovich. I think that you could probably assume that these are Strahd's romantic partners who probably normally stay down here in his tomb, but have been awakened to tangle with you. I will say that they've spent their turns kind of stalking across this tomb in your direction, and as such have not do not get any attacks this round. Because See, this is me being your friend.
A generous DM.
Yeah, generous DM. Micah, your arm falls off. Sorry, your character's arm falls off. So that is, there's a quartet of vampire spawn, 3 women and 1 man. They have names, but I don't think you're going to learn them. And they're each...
Watch me, Tony.
They're each garbed in kind of a different kind of set of elegant kind of fancy ball attire. Imra, it's your turn.
So Strahd, a sexy, evil, bisexual icon, is that what I'm learning here?
Basically.
Yeah, okay.
I hate this for us.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah, and you have come to his basement to kill him. Makes you think, who's the hero of this story?
Still us.
It's still us.
Still us.
Definitely not him, anyway. So, focus on Strahd or get distracted by the new threat?
I will say it would be good if Elevor doesn't have to make, what is it? Is it constitution saving throws for breaking concentration?
Same. I'm also doing that department.
I will have
a chance to at least attempt to turn them. Before they go again.
You also do have an up close and personal magical weapon.
Yeah.
As opposed to, but.
True too.
But we also really want to pop these fake Strahds, and I don't know how much, like, is it just one hit and out they go, in which case, maybe shoot.
Maybe you should do that.
My movement speed is only 35, so I can get in the room and fire two arrows.
I don't think you need to get all the way into the, I mean, your range is super far, right? Like, maybe even just on the stairs.
Ranger.
Yeah. Maybe even just being on the...
Well, I don't want to create a bottleneck.
I don't know. It feels like then you can at least stay out of the fray. I worry if you're in the room, you're vulnerable until at least other people get in there, right, to soak more damage. There's not very many targets.
So I also feel like if these creatures get into melee, it's going to be a lot harder for the casters to make ranged attacks that aren't them. It might be worthwhile for us to get rid of...
Yeah, them. I mean, I'm going to attempt to turn them, which will buy us time, but it won't kill them, right? It'll make them run away. Advantage of that is if you get up and close and personal with one of them and I make them run away, you get opportunity attack, so free damage.
That's true.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to turn around and attack the evil vampire that's right behind me. I am going to use Broldish's former battle axe.
Well, she was carrying it.
And that's a 9 to hit. Second attack is a 10 to hit.
Oh, no.
The vampire dodges left, dodges right.
Yep, so I guess that's it.
Micah, Team Nilbog is next.
Yes, so first the dryad is going to look up to the bats in the room, and you suddenly see, because this dryad is sort of like a beautiful golden wood with wearing this dress made of leaves, and the leaves kind of on top are this white color, but underneath they have this really gold color, and the leaves almost lift up, shining out this golden light as the dryad says, what does the dryad say? Because now I've lost my page. As the dryad says...
I've lost my page.
In the name of Eldath, Solinor, Sylvanus, and Myalecki, I command you, leave this place. And at the end of place, it sort of echoes in this room. Dryads have the ability to speak to beasts as if they share a language. And so the dryad is attempting in some way to get these bats to flee.
Okay.
Just about enough of these Monday to Friday bats.
How would you like me to sort of, you want me to do I don't know.
Persuasion?
What kind of role? Yeah. What do you like me to
persuasion?
Do
persuasion? Animal handling? I don't know. There's a lot of bats.
Let's. Okay. I mean, whichever one you feel is more appropriate, I'm happy to have it roll either one.
Why don't you roll animal handling?
Okie dokie. That's a wisdom. So let's see for the dryad. That's going to be. Okay. That's not terrible. And the Nilbog is going to, never mind. I was going to have it help, but I want it to have an action, so never mind.
Okay.
That's an 18 for persuasion.
The bats
or
in
for
the,
animal handling, I mean. Sorry.
Yeah, the bats in the tomb seem to kind of react to this and kind of swirl up out of the tomb. There's still lots of bats in the crypt area outside the tomb, but the Strahd suddenly finds himself without his Air Force.
Ooh. Yay!
Yeah! All right.
Batless in Barovia.
Yes!
And then, let me see, I'm pretty sure that's a bonus action. Yes. As a bonus action, the dryad is going to whisper some words, and suddenly you see the club in its hand sort of like grow layer after layer of bark on top of it. Mm-hmm. And then the last layer grows out and outgrow all of these spikes. And it kind of looks like one of those bats that has nails through it. Mm-hmm. As it casts Shillelagh on its club. And now it is a magical weapon. That's all the dryad can do. The Nilbog is going to make a, it's going to suddenly cackle. And it is going to point at, ooh, this is going to be kind of tough because it's going to point at Strahd, hoping to get actual Strahd, I guess. It says targets one creature it can see within 60 feet of it.
Strahd still counts as a creature, confusingly.
Okay. And I need for Strahd to make a DC 12 wisdom saving throw.
All right. Let me just consult Strahd's saving throws. I will tell you, Strahd's pretty good at saving throws.
I figured.
I don't have any good debuffs really for this.
Critical, which, you know,
that does do it.
Is demoralizing, but is also a waste of a critical. So, you know.
Yeah. Because dice.
That's how dice works. Finite number. Guys, I only get so many in my life, and I just use one here. So what are you going to do?
All right. The Nilbog is going to maintain. Oh, if this is the Nilbog, then it's going to move to here.
Right up to Strahd. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to point out that was the most useful implementation of an animal handling role that I think I've ever seen.
truly
it's amazing.
That's all for Team Nilbog.
Just
all
them right. being like, why are you hanging out with this guy?
he's a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy.
A bad guy.
There are plenty of forests.
Just because he's bad guy, never really not thought mean about he it. Bad guy.
All right, Strahd's lair action is next. Strahd could do a variety of things. Some of them are silly. Strahd looks at Lena Dulina, who I think is the source of much of his ire right now. Lena, you still don't have a shadow, so he can't tear your shadow away and have it attack you again. I guess you got that going for you. So instead, Strahd kind of mutters something, and up from the floor of the tomb are suddenly kind of the spectral, kind of dead-eyed souls of several adventurers who lash out at you. These are specters making an attack. Rolled an 11 because I wasted that critical on that saving throw. They kind of lash out at you with necrotic damage and then fade away to wherever Strahd keeps his specters. So that happens. They don't hang around the way the shadow did. That's the lair action. A little disappointing for him. There are no shadows, so shadows don't currently go. You know what? Strahd should do a legendary action. It's been a little while. He's still holding on to that celestial. And what do you know? He still wants a hit of angel blood. So he's gonna try and feast upon that.
Pretty
angel.
Sure that is a code name for PCP.
Yeah. Dan, I think that would be a great follow-up to your next novel would be the volume 2 Feast of Angel Blood. Ooh. Nope, sounds a lot stupider than your title should be.
Angel Blood sure is if you heavy... mix PCP into high C. Fruit punch.
That version
this
of
hit
drugs,
the streets.
Drugs
kids
you
are
just...
calling it Angel Blood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sandy and PCP.
I have rolled a not very impressive, real hot and cold on Strahd's dice here. 12 to hit the celestial avatar of Odatar, who's present here who's with us all in this in this tomb.
It's not happening. He's
not
he's
happening. This is not going great for Strahd. Crucible, it's your turn.
Let's start off by using my channel divinity to turn undead.
Oh, vampires don't like that.
No, they do not. So
also,
as
all
an
of
action,
the undead bats mixed in with the regular bats don't like that either.
Yeah, as an action, I hold up my shield, on which is the holy symbol. Well, technically, both the holy symbol of Onatar as well as has now been overlaid with the holy symbol of Ravenkind. You got a double barrel there.
Remix. Nope.
And I'm using my turn undead. I speak prayer to Onatar, censuring the undead. Every undead that can hear me within 30 feet must make a wisdom saving throw. That is all four of the vampire spawn. All
right. Strahd's brides and boyfriend make wisdom saving throws. I'm going to do this in roll 20. 4d20s. What if vampires spawn? They get plus 3 to their wisdom saving throws. So I rolled a 7, a 22, a 12, and a 13. I think that's one success.
Three of them fail, yes. One success.
Three of them fail. What happens immediately?
Well, immediately they are terrified, which is good. They should be. They try to move as on their turns. They try to move as far away from me as they can, and they cannot willingly move to a space within 30 feet of me, and they cannot take reactions. They can only use the dash action or try to escape from an effect that prevents it from moving. And if they can't go anywhere, they have to dodge. So it's there, and they are turned for 1 minute or until they take damage. So we get.
So this is an important. You may not wish to. You may not wish to hunt them down because they. You've,
yeah,
because
if they just run away, that's 4 minutes worth of. Or sorry, that's 10 rounds worth of
no vampires.
No vampires.
Yeah,
which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Crucible. That also.
So that's my action, and then the Celestial gets its action directly after me. So it's still being grappled by Strahd, but that only affects its speed. It doesn't affect its ability to hit Strahd with a giant radiant hammer.
It's true.
Yeah.
So it's going to do that twice.
It's hammer time.
Heck yeah.
Okay, the first one is a 19, I believe.
Yes.
Which hits. And then the
Strahd
second
does not
one...
like being face to face with an angel. This is really not good for him.
In the
I don't know if I should have done some. This is one of those. Should I have done something differently here? I don't really think I was consulted about fighting an angel or not.
Yeah, sorry, that's your call.
Remember that
one
time we made an angel a werewolf?
Yes.
Second one is only a 15. A 16 hit him. Does a 15?
15 does not. You figured out his armor class.
Nailed out his armor class there. All right. One of those will land for... And I don't know if these do... Does he take full damage from the radiant?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay, so it's
if
not
it
magic.
Hits him and not one of the
well,
mirror images.
Is it magic? I don't know if it's magic. I mean, it's a summon celestial, but it's radiant.
Okay. So actually I need to figure out mirror image here. Micah, you've used mirror image before?
Just no, I haven't personally used it. I watched some D&D where they were using it. Sorry.
Yeah, so that's going to be 9 radiant damage.
I have rolled a critical fail. The celestial targets the real Strahd.
Nice. I like it.
I don't.
Onitar is blessing upon this angel causes it to see through that illusion.
Yeah,
and 9 radiant damage. And now that Lena, let's see, how close is Lena? It's 10 feet. Hold on. Choose itself or another creature it can see within 10 feet of the target. So that's
could
not
be Vasilka.
Yeah, I think I can do it with Vasilka. So Vasilka, for the moment, I'm going to give Vasilka 10 hit points. No reason I can't, right?
Nice. Yeah. That's good because we can't really heal Vasilka as easily as other folks.
1d10, 10 hit points.
Cool.
That is 2.
Hey, it's 2. Helps. 2 she didn't have a moment ago.
Exactly.
All right. Crucible, Strahd's going to take a legendary action after your turn. Which is he gets 3 and he does not like this situation anymore, so he is going to leave, which takes the form of the 4 Strahds basically drop the angel they've been holding and kind of whoosh past Lena, past Vasilka without provoking up the stairs.
This provokes no opportunity attacks from anybody?
Yep, without provoking opportunity attacks.
Hello.
But they can't be. They rush up the stairs to find Broldish at the top of the stairs, Crucible
Rawr!
Nearby. So, yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Interesting choice.
And, you know, I don't know if this is actually a good idea for him, but based on his knowledge of the situation, that feels like. Let me say, I don't think he wants to stay there because he'll get boxed in, but he does want to not be there anymore. So,
I'm happy to have him near.
Okay. Well,
Brildish is thrilled.
Aragal, there is a turned vampire spawn kind of cowering next to you that if you don't hit it, it will probably run away. There's also, hey, this guy, Strahd von Zarovich, everyone's been talking about, is like 10 feet away from him.
So I think Aragol doesn't want to hurt his friends. So
is his friend Strahd von Zarovich, the guy on the cover of the book?
Oh no, this
no,
whole time.
No, long game. No. So he is going to go here, here, and then I think disengage with his rogueness.
I will tell you, I don't think you need to worry about the vampire given its current situation even. So
okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he kind of like busts
can't take
past.
They can't take reactions right now, so they cannot.
Okay, cool. So
he has a lot of ability to move around.
So he's going
to
sneak around so that Strahd doesn't get any thoughts about, you know, activating the shock collar.
I'm a no here.
He is a no here.
Charmed, not a me.
That's just my bona fide Chris Pratt voice.
Yes, so. Have the brides taken a turn?
They crept in and then somebody used turn undead on them.
Okay, yeah. So he is going to try and shoot them, or the non-turned one, with a crossbow.
All right,
that's only a 10 to hit.
10 does not hit. The vampire hisses as the bolt goes by.
Come on, Aragol. Get your stuff together.
You know, Aragol's just happy to be here. Yep. And that is Aragol's turn.
Broldish, you're next. Congratulations.
Wait. You can give your inspiration to someone else, right?
Yeah.
I give it to Aragol.
Well, because I already had inspiration, but Tony last game gave me more inspiration.
You can only have one.
You can only have one at a time.
Okay.
So if you give it away, it's gone. So you should probably keep it.
But Aragol can do a lot of damage.
Mostly with poison.
Aragol can do more damage melee as opposed to with the crossbow.
He's not a main character. You're the main character.
I know. Okay, there were definitely many
points where he was stronger than.
So. Yeah, but that was. I will just point out, Aragol didn't. You met Aragol when you were like level 5.
Aragol, strangely,
because it's Dungeons and Dragons, didn't level up, but you all did.
Don't spend your inspiration on a guest star.
Also, remember when Aragol tried to sneak into a room and murder you, and I rolled like 3 critical fails in a row, and then you're like, "Ha ha! Now you work for us, incredibly lethal assassin." Hapless.
All right, just craved approval. Given a single crumb of people even giving him the benefit of the doubt, he was hooked. I mean,
look, Aragol's whole backstory is that he's a little brother, and that's all you need to.
It all makes sense.
Yep.
All right, I'll keep it.
Okay. Broldish, news. Strahd von Zarovich has just kind of phased up the stairs, basically into melee with Theo, perhaps without really intending to, but because there's an angel downstairs, and that hasn't been going great for him.
Broldish is excited. She was already gripping.
Breaking news. When I say Strahd is there, there are 4 Strahds.
4, right.
Yeah, so.
Broldish is 4 times as excited.
Yeah.
So she's already gripping her sacred axe and to pray to bust out this aura. Instead of using a bonus action to heal anybody this time, since Strahd is right in her face, she is going to do a thing that she almost never does, because we don't usually fight big single boss type enemies.
Nope.
And that is specifically take a vow of enmity. So right up in his face. I don't like you, sir.
I enmity you.
Hala.
You are my enmity.
Doesn't like you.
But the enmity of my enmity.
Yeah. I don't like
you. Is you.
Sorry. We're Hala stepping.
Doesn't
we're stepping
like me either. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But so for the next minute, and this does not take concentration, for the next minute, I get advantage on all of my attacks against Strahd.
Yep. Against Strahd, huh?
Yep. So now I'm going to roll one of those attacks.
All right.
Strahd, from the back of a pony, down comes a sacred axe, which for the moment is magical. And Let's see. That is... Okay. We determined it's plus 2 because it's not plus 3. 16, 24. It's in the 20s to hit.
All right. Your axe comes shuddering down and seems to cleave Strahd in half as one of the four illusions is shattered and is not there anymore. There are now but 3 Strahds on the steps before you.
Rawr!
I assume that did damage because damage destroys the illusion.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I assume you are accidentally using a Nerf axe or something. You have so many axes.
I do. That's true. It's very good that I didn't accidentally grab the wrong one.
Yeah.
So that is 18, 19, 20, maths 20 to hit with the second attack. And
hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Do.
I will count off. This is my second turn with the with my aura up. It's only 10.
Second illusion is shattered. I'll tell you, basically, every time you attack Strahd, I have to roll to see if you hit him or the illusion. He wants you to hit the illusion. It gets harder when there are fewer of them. And now there is just but Strahd and a single illusion, or perhaps they're both illusions. That Strahd is somewhere sleeping, having a nice cup of tea somewhere.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, what if Strahd has been a twin this whole time? Twist!
Twist, indeed. Well, Pony doesn't have advantage and also doesn't do a lot of damage. But guess what? If he happens to hit the other one, then the rest of our attacks will go straight through. So we've got a celestial hoof attack coming at Strahd. And somehow rolled even worse than last time. Pony is just like... This is a little more than Pony was bargaining for. So that 2 on the die was just... It actually looks kind of cool, though, because he's just like rearing up on his
hind legs. The illusions, both Strahd and his illusion duck the hoof attack.
All right. That is it for Brildish's turn.
All right. It is Strahd Vonzarovich's turn. He has taken radiant damage recently, I believe, from the... He got hit once by your Celestial Dan.
Yep.
So he does not regenerate hit points, which he would really, really, really like to do. So he is looking around for a target, and I think that he is going to he's going to attack Brildish. Actually, you know what? He looks you deep in the eyes, Brildish, and you his eyes kind of take on a kind of a swirling effect.
Oh, no.
Give me a wisdom saving throw, Brildish.
I have advantage.
That's going to be real important. Right now. Real important.
Warm up that inspiration, Micah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I have my own inspiration, and I'm going to use it because I rolled a 1 and a 5 on the dice.
All right.
Yeah.
You get the sense that Strahd is trying to charm you, Brildish. You have weird, kind of intrusive thoughts about, like, maybe Strahd's not so bad. Maybe Strahd is great. Maybe I should be protecting Strahd, with life and limb as you continue to roll. You burn through your inspiration die, continue rolling things. Let me know how this works out.
I got a 24.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
And then, you shake it off and you're like, that's not real. Those are not your thoughts.
I was so excited that I punched my microphone. Sorry, future Erica.
I will tell you.
Brildish just looks Strahd right back in the eyes and says, rude.
Yeah. That's where you use inspiration, people, not when Aragal misses with a crossbow. It's when Strahd Vonzarovich attempts to charm Brildish, turning Brildish into his trusted ally and using her to destroy all of you. So that almost happened.
I mean, she's not
that effective. Yep. Elevor, you're next.
Yeah, Elevor is going to sort of just put his 2 fingers forward like a weapon, and his fingers kind of go cold, and a dart of ice shoots forward. And I need a constitution saving throw of 16.
Strahd is not great at constitution. Let's see how he does. Well, I rolled an 8, but you know what? You know what Strahd does have?
No.
Strahd has legendary resistance.
I hate it.
If Strahd, I love this way the way this is, let me just tell you how this is written. If Strahd fails a saving throw, he can choose to succeed instead. He chooses to succeed
oh
instead.
My gosh.
That's what I do every day in life.
There's a limit on how often he can do that. But Strahd just takes the win. So no, that doesn't happen, says Strahd.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Well, hey, you gotta get him to use those is the key. So
you can't take it with you, Strahdy boy.
He has expended something. And actually
he can do that. Okay, so the question is
two or three times is my guess.
Even though he's got mirror images, he can do that as if it was him as his mirror image.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He only counts as one creature still.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Elevor, you know, at the end of your turn, Strahd's going to take another legendary action. All of his things are fancy, right? It's not that he has a resistance. He has legendary resistance. He has legendary actions. He gets lair actions. So many things. Strahd is going to do another move. He is going to move his speed, which is 30 feet without provoking anyone. 5, 10, 15, 20.
Now we know which one's real.
Yep.
I think he's going to basically kind of disappear into the darkness of the crypts as he rushes.
He came here to fight
you.
Strahd, and Strahd runs away?
Yeah, what?
Well, what a baby.
Twerp.
Strahd ran away from your angel. you know that Strahd, you know the general direction of Strahd, but I think he has probably disappeared from sight of everybody.
We should all just go into the thing and just wait for him to come back.
Yeah, you could do that.
Don't even
really
attack
quiet.
Him.
As you do that, as you think about that, bats attack everyone. Bats attack everyone who is not in the tomb. So Elevor, Broldish, Pony, Androdyte, Crucible, Argal, Imra. I think that's all. Each of you, please roll a bat attack on yourselves.
Plus four.
D20 I'm
plus
once again
plus four to hit.
Imposing disadvantage for the one against Pony.
Yep.
Bats more bad crit on Aragorn.
That's crit on Aragorn. Aragorn
on me too.
No,
the bats don't do crit damage. You take 5 damage.
Aragorn sneaking around the crypt and then suddenly just bats everywhere.
Aragorn reaches into his snack for a good old bar and he's accidentally chewing on a bat that then bites him.
And then the bat's chewing on him.
Oh, you know.
Bats missed Elevor and Samus.
Yeah. All right. So it was a real. Some people easily avoided bats. Other people just got a face full of bats. So
yeah, they missed Broldish. They hit Pony. Pony's down to 1 hit point.
Oh,
so.
No.
I never expected Pony to make it to the end of this battle. He gets to go home and have some time, and then come back.
He's not.
The celestial
also,
plane.
I assume you know Danu never got hit by the swarm of bats, and Danu is just hanging up by the switch doing great.
No. Elevor dismissed Danu.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. I just imagine I like he's just
the idea of
sitting
just
by the switch watching.
Just hanging
out. Lena, you are in the tomb. There's a Vasilka there. There's a celestial. There's two strange woodland creatures that Elevor has summoned, but there's no Strahd.
Lena has just seen Strahd do a whole lot of stuff, including trying to charm Broldish.
Yeah.
Which is, like, not cool.
Then
he started running away. So Lena, like, screams in frustration and starts booking it after him. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then, so she has her... cunning action can use a bonus action to take the dash, disengage, or hide action. She's gonna dash.
Okay.
Yeah.
1, 2. Uh-oh. Who's right. back in melee?
Give me a quick perception check as you rush into the darkness of the crypts. Your sun sword flickering, the shadows illuminating, bats swirling around you.
I'm gonna use my inspiration.
Yeah.
We just need to do a bunch more cool things so Tony will give us inspiration.
Okay, that's a
in
13.
Midst of battle.
All right, you see Strahd like clinging to the side of a crypt, trying to avoid your detection.
I'm just picturing this.
Yeah. Nope.
He has spider climb. His feet are there too.
Come on.
He's not
he's
a
just kind of he's pathetic. Not a koala, it's really disappointing.
Dan. Come on, son.
Guys, he's trying to murder
all
of you.
That's
you
a 29 to hit.
Yeah.
Whoa. Look, nice.
Get down from there.
Well, 29 to hit him or his mirror image. Let's find out.
50-50 chance.
Dang, okay, you well, can move so much.
Your
a bonus
sun
action.
Sword tears through his final mirror image, and it's just Strahd there glaring at you, Lena Delina.
And I used my bonus action to get there so I can't even hit him with my other sword. But I stare at him.
Mm-hmm. And as you stare at him, Strahd lashes out with you, just his open hand, but each of his fingers are like knives. So they slice through the air in your direction. I have rolled a not very impressive 14 to hit.
Nope.
All right. Ooh. Cuts through
she
the air, but
slaps
nowhere
his
near
hand
you.
Out of the
yeah,
air.
Yeah, she does.
Vasilka is back in the tomb that is emptying out.
Vasilka whirls and starts charging back out
the
of the
other
tomb.
Direction.
Two, three, four,
just
five,
full Frankenstein
six,
running.
One,
stop,
two.
Stop, 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 stop.
Can I go, have to go around this guy? What's the deal?
Around your own celestial? I mean, you like.
No,
I
around, sorry, around the vampire way out here.
I think they're not really a threat in their current
okay.
state. I think
they're
going
to
run
right
away.
Past him. I all can right. basically get to, like, here.
All right. Oh, wow. So Vilka-Zilka stomps all the way across
yeah,
the tomb.
Yeah, I mean, use both,
up
both
the
moves to get
and closes
all the way
with
over there. Yeah.
All right.
Stares. Also stares at him. Joins Lena in the staring.
Two
she gets
totally
a chance
badass
to get her
ladies just
hands
staring
on,
at Strahd.
On his neck. It's coming.
All right. You know, Strahd feels like this is not going well. Strahd's going to use another legendary action to attack Vasilka.
Ugh.
14 is probably not going to hit Vasilka
no,
either.
No, she has not. Oh. Her armor class is 9.
Okay.
Is that including her armor?
Do we give her armor?
Yeah, yeah. We made yeah, you made armor
yeah,
for
you
her.
Like yeah, that's right. Fancy armor under her fancy
it's a chain
gown.
Shirt.
Is oh, then
that,
that
probably
much?
Doesn't. I'm sorry, I forgot we had done that.
Yeah,
so
it's
long
not
ago.
Chain mail, but it's a chain. It was a chain shirt.
I don't know. A chain shirt is around 14.
Yeah. Woof. Now I have to look that up and notate that.
We
somewhere.
Keep forgetting 13. Because it's underneath this beautiful ball.
Oh, it's 13.
Oh, man.
Plus right. dex still, modifier. Like, guess what her dex modifier is?
Negative. Zero, probably. Yeah.
No.
She's
yeah,
slow.
It's negative one.
So, slow flesh golem. So Strahd lashes out and his whole hand kind of turns into a blade and just slices into Vasilka, into the side, into her ribs. So many ribs.
I thought you loved her.
You know, Strahd's a complicated man, and bad things happen to everyone who's arranged marriage to him. Remember how there were, like, pre-labeled dooms for everybody? Vasilka is going to take 8 bludgeoning damage, and as
is that his, magical or non-magical?
And she has 2 temporary hit points. Yay!
Okay. I think it's mundane. I think it's just his hand.
She resists non-bludgeoning, right. piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks that aren't adamantine.
I don't think his hands count as magic. His hands are not registered magical so weapons. Magical
nor
weapons.
Are they adamantine.
Adamantine.
Yeah.
So that was how much damage total?
8.
So 4 plus two out of that is temporary hit points. So...
Okay. Well, yeah. It gets worse, Dan. Strahd slices into her side with his blade-like hands and then twists, and 14 necrotic damage courses through Vasilka. Though, given her flesh golem status, I don't know how she feels about necrotic damage.
Oh, does necrotic
damage?
No,
there's nothing specific.
All right.
I think only constructs could take necrotic damage.
I think only pretty high level undead are resistant to necrotic. I think necrotic is bad for everybody.
Yeah, lightning, poison, bludgeoning, piercing, slashing from non magical.
Yeah.
So and
tissue
immune
can
to
be
a bunch of
you know,
conditions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
You can go
yep,
necrotic.
That tracks. That yeah. tracks.
All right.
Sorry, what was the total damage from that attack?
14
then?
Necrotic.
Okay. Oops.
She's fine. She's fine.
I mean, we can heal her with lightning bolts, so just, you know, she needs to stand in front of Strahd, and then Elevore can just zip.
and the vampire spawner next. Three of them are forced by Crucible's magic to scamper away into the darkness.
Worthless.
Never to be seen again.
One of them is still here, not compelled to flee, and I guess is right next to Imra, so we'll just take an attack on Imra. It will be a claw attack followed by a bite attack. Imra, I have rolled a maths 20 to hit.
Yep.
All right, you are going to take 10 slashing damage. And the vampire will try and do that again. I have rolled a critical fail, a second one of the night. That's great. Loved to see it. And so the battle ranges on. I think Strahd has not struck his foes with the fear that he would have liked, but you are fighting him within his crypt. There may be other hideous creatures that he will summon to aid him now in his moment of need. So many bats, so many vampire brides, and so many unknowns that will be unleashed upon our friends in the Dog and Pony Crew. Will next time be the end of our confrontation with Strahd von Zarovich? Will Barovia be saved and restored to light and happiness? Who will die in order to take Strahd down? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time.
Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.